very windy here in the Nishna Valley today and tomorrow, as a wind advisory remains in effect from 6 p.m. this evening until 6 p.m. on Sunday for most of the KJN listening area, except for the far west and southwestern counties, where the advisory is in effect from 3 p.m. this afternoon until midnight tonight. National Weather Service's wind should increase early this afternoon and evening and remain strong through Sunday. The strongest winds will likely be during the day on Sunday. Northwest winds from 25 to 45 miles per hour can be expected, with gusts up to 55 miles per hour. The prolonged period of strong winds will impact travel, especially for high-profile vehicles over the holiday weekend. Minor property damage is also possible with wind speeds of this magnitude. A wind advisory means that winds of 30 miles per hour or higher are expected. They can make driving difficult, especially for those high-profile vehicles, so you do use extra caution. For those persons in the northern fringe of our listening area, the National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory for wind and blowing snow, which is in effect from 6 p.m. today through 3 a.m. on Sunday. And that advisory includes Denison, Carroll, Sac City, Storm Lake, Fort Dodge, Algona, and Mason City. Rain is expected to mix with and change over to snow after 6 p.m. west of I-35 and east of I-35 in northern Iowa after 9 p.m. Total ice and snow accumulations in the area across western and northern Iowa in that advisory are expected to range from 1 to 2 inches by early Sunday morning. Here in the Atlantic area, in the immediate listening area here for KJN, we expect some rain changing over to snow, but we don't expect much in the form of accumulation, just a little over a half inch of accumulation is expected here in our area. But the winds will be very strong, so do use some caution out there dealing with those breezy conditions here today and tomorrow. In other news, Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich will make a couple of final public stops in western Iowa today, just 3 days before the Iowa caucuses. Gingrich will start off the day with a Newt's Jobs and Growth Bus Tour event in Council Bluffs at Tish's Restaurant beginning at 9 a.m. Afterward, he'll hold a similar meeting in Atlantic at the Atlantic Coca-Cola Bottling Company beginning at 1:30 p.m. here today. And also on Friday, Gingrich was in Creston at the Adams Street Espresso and Soda Shop and in Shenandoah as well last night. Also, both those events were open to the public as well, but Newt with those two stops here today in both Council Bluffs and Atlantic. Also in news similar, former Massachusetts governor and Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney will be in Atlantic in Council Bluffs on Sunday. His stop in Atlantic, during which he will discuss jobs and the economy, is scheduled to occur at 2:15 on Sunday afternoon at the Family Table Restaurant at 609 West 7th Street. Romney's visit to Council Bluffs on Sunday will include a rally at Bayless Park Hall at 5:05 in the evening. In other news, authorities in Nebraska say a 52-year-old Carter Lake woman was killed on Friday in a two-vehicle crash on eastbound Interstate 480 that tied up traffic for several hours. Police say Linda Steskel of Carter Lake died at the scene of the crash. According to Sergeant Chad Gear, an SUV driven by 45-year-old Ronnie Dunbar of Council Bluffs was traveling at a high rate of speed at around 3:30 p.m. on Friday when it hit the rear of Steskel's Chevy Malibu near the Dodge Street exit. Following the collision, the four-door Malibu bounced off a guardrail, spewing debris across the roadway. Police had to shut down all four eastbound lanes into Council Bluffs for more than 3 hours while eastbound traffic was diverted back into downtown Omaha. Law officers from the Council Bluffs and Omaha Police Departments, the Iowa State Patrol, and the Nebraska State Patrol helped reroute traffic. Steskel's car sustained heavy front and rear end damage before it ended up in a ditch with the back window broken out and the hood folded up. The other vehicle, a Mercury Mountaineer, was on the north shoulder of Interstate 480 East facing west. It had heavy damage to the driver's side with the back wheel broken. Sergeant Gear told reporters alcohol was found in the SUV and officials were investigating whether alcohol was a factor in the accident. Dunbar fled the scene on foot following the crash, but was taken into custody near the I-29 bridge over 9th Avenue. He was arrested on suspicion of leaving the scene of an accident and driving with a suspended license. His passenger, 45-year-old Michael Barnett of Council Bluffs, was injured and taken to Mercy Hospital, where he was treated and released. Two separate arrests were reported by the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office the past 2 days on drug and alcohol-related charges. On Thursday at approximately 11:10 p.m., sheriff's officials arrested 35-year-old Sean Eugene Hicks of Emerson for possession of marijuana with the intent to deliver, also possession of drug paraphernalia, manner of conveyance, stopping on the paved portion of the roadway, and having no valid driver's license. The arrest was made following an incident at 210th Street and Box Elder Avenue in rural Red Oak. Hicks was transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $5,000 bond. And last evening at around 10:59 p.m., Montgomery County Sheriff's officials arrested 49-year-old John Ellsworth Martin of Omaha for OWI third offense at Emmett Avenue and Highway 34 in rural Red Oak. Martin was also charged with open container and driving with no valid driver's license. He was booked in the Montgomery County Jail on $5,000 bond. Red Oak police report the arrest of 19-year-old Shaylee Deanne Lambright on Friday at about 5:43 p.m. in the evening on a valid Montgomery County warrant for fifth-degree theft. Police arrested Lambright in the 100 block of West Coolbaugh Street and booked her into the Montgomery County Jail on $300 bond. The Iowa National Guard will reduce by nearly half its tuition reimbursement for soldiers and airmen in the upcoming spring semester. The Gazette in Cedar Rapids reports that the move was announced in a memo this week from Major General Timothy Orr, the Adjutant General for Iowa. In the memo, Orr says the Guard will reduce the National Guard Education Assistance Program award from 90% to 50% for the 2012 spring semester. This will reduce the maximum per semester award from $2,888 to $1,604. Orr says the reduction follows a review of state appropriations for the program. The program is funded by the state and pays colleges and universities up front for the cost of education for qualified soldiers and airmen. Well, Iowans who will be whooping it up for New Year's Eve tonight need to remember that not all alcoholic drinks are created equal. Alcohol counselor John Smith says it isn't necessarily a good rule of thumb to assume you're okay to drive if you only had one drink an hour, at least if you want to avoid being nailed for drunken driving. He teaches classes to those convicted of drunk driving, and he's advising people on ways to avoid getting tipsy, like eating a good meal and pacing your drinking. Smith says Iowans should make it a point to watch the alcohol content of their drinks. Smith says any one of those drinks would put a man weighing 180 pounds about one-fourth of the way to exceeding the legal limit for driving. On the other hand, he says just one Long Island iced tea could result in a drunk driving charge. Smith says it's important to keep an eye on just how much booze actually goes in to your drink. And he says the only sure way is to avoid getting a charge with drunk driving after a night of drinking is just to not get behind the wheel, and the advice there from Smith. A false rumor is being forwarded around by some Iowans on Facebook about free rides and vehicle tows for people who've had too much on New Year's Eve cheer. Rose White in AAA Iowa says the Tipsy Tow and Tow and Go programs are real, but they're not available here. She says the two free towing programs have nothing to do with what's available for the Auto Club's members. White says Iowa is usually busy during the winter months with drivers needing assistance with winter-related problems, one reason the free service isn't offered here. Well, don't expect Herman Cain to endorse any of the Republican presidential candidates before Tuesday's Iowa caucuses. Cain's campaign manager Mark Block told the Associated Press in an email on Friday that the former GOP candidate is not prepared to endorse anyone. He did not elaborate. Cain enjoyed a surge of support in the fall and briefly became a frontrunner for the GOP nomination. The Georgia businessman dropped out of the race in early December after facing allegations of sexual impropriety. At the time, he said he would offer an endorsement. Cain attracted a strong following among Tea Party activists. Republican Michelle Bachmann's closest congressional ally has offered kind words for the presidential candidate, but stopped short of an outright endorsement that could lift her back of the pack campaign. Bachmann and Iowa Representative Steve King appeared together on Friday at a small-town cafe in his congressional district. King has remained neutral in the race despite attempts by several candidates to land his official support and that of the evangelical voters he tends to attract in his own elections. King called Bachmann my great friend, but said he still hasn't reached a personal decision in the GOP race. Bachmann attracted small crowds in two stops on Friday. She chalked it up to last-minute scheduling. The Iowa caucuses are coming up next Tuesday. The University of Iowa students and employees will have the option to link university identification cards to their checking accounts under terms of a contract with the bank to serve as a campus financial services provider. The school announced Friday that Hills Bank and Trust Company beat out four other financial institutions for the five-year contract. The deal calls for Hills Bank to operate two campus branch locations, one at the Student Union and one at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. All ATMs on campus and at the hospital that do not charge fees will remain that way. Hills Bank operates 14 branch locations in Johnson, Linn, and Washington counties. It takes over for the University of Iowa Community Credit Union in a transition that begins immediately and will last for months. The Cass County Board of Supervisors on Friday approved the final version of an indigent disposition policy, formerly called an indigent burial policy. Policy states a maximum of $2,000 will be paid by the county for the burial of a deceased indigent person, or a maximum of $1,500 for a cremation. That includes the mandatory medical examiner certification fee. Burial or cremation is limited to a casket, vault, or cremation container. Funeral director fees and other normal expenses required for burial or cremation. In addition, the county will pay the reasonable and customary cemetery expenses not to exceed $550, or for burial of cremains, $200. Any unusual transportation or other expenses beyond those amounts may be substituted or may be submitted to the Board of Supervisors for approval. The Board has the complete and sole discretion to decide upon reimbursement of those costs. Policy also states the family or interested persons associated with the deceased shall sign an agreement to repay the county from any resources or benefits that belong to or are due to the deceased person. That would include life insurance, real estate, personal property, Social Security, railroad, or other benefits, and memorials and fundraiser monies, contracts and bank accounts, annuities, stocks, bonds, and certificates of deposits. Also, applications for disposition benefits must be made in writing as soon as possible following the death of an indigent person to the Cass County General Assistance Office or Veterans Affairs Office. Eligibility for benefits will be determined by the General Assistance Coordinator or the Veterans Affairs Ordinances as deemed appropriate. That's a look at some of the latest news for you here this morning on KJN. Taking a look now here at your funeral announcements. Josephine Gibson, age 75, of Ottoman, died Tuesday at the Friendship Home in Ottoman. Funeral services for Josephine Gibson will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the First Baptist Church in Elkhorn. Kessler Funeral Home Ottoman has arrangements. Jim F. Rush, age 65, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at his home. Funeral services for Jim Rush will be held today at 10:30 a.m. in the St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Vera Opal Nielsen, age 98, of Elkhorn, died Wednesday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Vera Opal Nielsen will be held today at 11 a.m. in the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Dorothy I. Anderson, age 88, of Exira, died Wednesday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Dorothy I. Anderson will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. in the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Marilyn Ann Fawn, age 76, of Harlan, died Thursday at her home. Mass of Christian burial for Marilyn Ann Fawn will be held at 11 a.m. on Tuesday at the St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ann Howard Eugene Gregerson, age 78, of Far, Texas, formerly the Atlantic and Anita areas, died Sunday, December 25th. Howard Gregerson's wish to be cremated has taken place. A family and committal and memorial service will be held in Atlantic at a later date. That's a look at the latest news and funeral announcements here this 8 o'clock hour on KJN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.